Hi, I'm your host, Vasco Duarte. Welcome to the Scrum Master Toolbox podcast, where we share tips and tricks from Scrum Masters around the world. Every day, we bring you inspiring answers to important questions that all Scrum Masters face day after day. Hi, everybody. I have an announcement to make. We have heard often here on the podcast how retrospectives are critical for teams' growth and performance. And because of that, my partner, Luis Gonçalves, has been busy creating a program to help you prepare, facilitate, and host great retrospectives. Based on the feedback from his book, Getting Value Out of Agile Retrospectives, he has collected a set of lessons that he is now sharing with you for free. Yes, the program is completely free and includes tips and tricks that will help you get your teams eager for their next retrospective. If you want to know more, sign up at bit.ly/free-retrospectives-program. That is bit.ly/free-retrospectives-program. All one word, all lowercase. Don't miss it. Sign up now for this step-by-step free retrospectives program. And now, on with today's podcast. So welcome everybody to one more Tuesday episode of the Scrum Master Toolbox podcast. And we have with us this week, Heidi Helfand. Hi, Heidi. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thank you very much.
So today we talk about teams and the behaviors that sometimes they exhibit that lead to some decay in performance, perhaps even to the team's own self-destruction. So that's what we would like to ask you about, Heidi. Take us there. Take us to a moment in time where that behavior became obvious in the team that you were working with. And tell us, what was that behavior and what were the consequences?
What comes to mind for this is any time when I've noticed that a language of us and them emerges. For example, working with a team that had more of an inexperienced team member in a product management role, the way that the product manager behaved was different to the team than the way some senior product managers who they had worked with had behaved. And it was just for the sheer fact that this person was new, they were relatively junior. And so I think the anti-pattern is when team members maybe notice and acknowledge that somebody is struggling or needs extra help and they don't do something about it. And I think it's really important that we on teams help others to succeed regardless of the role that they're in. In fact, one of our founders, John Walker, always told me that. I remember going to him with a problem about a team member in the early years, and he said to me, "Heidi, how can you help this other person be successful? We've hired them for a reason. What are you going to do to help this other person be successful?" And it sounds like a simple concept, but it really changed a lot for me. And I find myself saying that to people that I coach and people that I work with. If they have an issue with somebody else and it's impacting the work, and what can they do to help this other person be successful? We are all one team. Sometimes we have different titles, but we are all one team. And how can we band together and move the work forward, regardless of any kind of job title that we have? So I think the anti-pattern is not working together as a team.
And when we are in a situation like that, and I can imagine some of those situations. I mean, I was once in a team where one of the team members was obviously not carrying its weight, and we had this big discussion as a team as to what we should be doing. So, but that was our approach. So, if it were you, Heidi, in that situation again, where there's a team member struggling and the team is obviously as a team suffering from that, what can we as Scrum Masters do in practice to help sort out that situation?
I think we need to help provide the support and encouragement to help that other person succeed. And, in terms of new employees, I mean, there is a period of onboarding. We do have mentorship that we've developed and strengthened over the years. I think, you know, taking the time to give empathy to the person that's struggling, to help them get the resources and support that they need to be successful. But then also, you know, having discussions with the other people on the team and having empathy for their position. And, you know, in some ways, you know, depending on, you know, how it's going, you know, taking the topic to the team and having a discussion about, you know, this is what we're used to, and these sorts of activities that happen aren't present on the team right now. How can we bring those activities present to the team? There are things that we need. And, you know, kind of work together to get the job done, really almost extracting the things that we need to do to move the work forward from the individual roles. And I think, you know, maybe that was kind of the vision or the dream of having the role of just product developer, that anybody could have the skills, capacity to kind of come together and do the work. And maybe that's the spirit of a lot of this in the beginning. And some of us are in environments in which we have, you know, specialized roles and specialized job titles, and we work with groups, and then we come together cross-functionally to make work happen. You know, building the relationships is one of the most important things. I really think if you know and care about the people that you work with, everything else is easier. And so how can we facilitate the caring, the mutual caring on the team? And there are different things that you can do. I mean, there's a book called Coaching for Performance by a guy named Sir John Whitmore. I don't know if you've heard of that book. He doesn't come from software, but he comes from organizational development, I believe. And he has a chapter in his book on team coaching. He talks about that the coach's job is to help the team gel and get up to speed as fast as possible. And there are certain things that you can do to help people build relationships and get to know each other. And some of them are, you know, having social activities together. You know, these are all opt-in, doing sports together, learning new things together, having experiences together. We've adopted a lot of these practices at AppFolio over the years. You know, we'll go on trips together. We'll learn new things together. You know, we hired a juggler, a guy that juggles at one point. We all learned how to juggle. You know, something as simple as that can help build relationships. You know, and even like, you know, back to the challenging situation that I was talking about with a junior person kind of, struggling on the team and it becoming an issue for the other people is kind of like, well, do they know each other yet? Have they ever had lunch together? I had one of our other founders, Klaus Schauser. I remember when I worked with him at the previous startup where we created GoToMeeting and GoToWebinar. I remember when things got difficult with people, he would suggest that I go have lunch with them. And, you know, that's just a simple nod in the direction of develop your relationships, Heidi. And, you know, that always really, really stuck with me. And I think, you know, there's a lot that we can do with coaching skills about building relationships, and we can teach explicit skills in listening and conversation and other things towards that end. But, you know, all in all, if you know and care about the people you work with, everything else comes easier. In the people being in the role of a coach or a scrum master are in a great position to really kind of promote this type of thing.
And you mentioned one thing that I think is extremely important to bring back to our active memories as scrum masters. You know, our responsibility, our domain is indeed that curating and helping emerge those relationships between the team members. I think that the way you put it was really, really good and essential for us as scrum masters. Is our role is to help the teams gel and grow to the right level of performance as fast as possible, and that can only happen if the right relationships emerge and are nurtured.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, we're all people together, you know, spending our lives together at work more than we're with many of our family members and friends. And developing those relationships it's good for our lives. I mean, these are friendships we develop.
Absolutely. And it's good for our lives in all levels.
Tuesday is Team Day here on the Scrum Master Toolbox podcast, but tomorrow we talk about something that goes beyond the work we do with the teams. We will talk about how to lead change and what our guests have learned from leading and participating in change programs during their career. See you tomorrow. We really hope you liked our show. And if you did, why not rate this podcast on Stitcher or iTunes? Share this podcast and let other Scrum Masters know about this valuable resource for their work. Remember that sharing is caring.